Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our redeemer. Amen. I know it's going to disappoint a few of you, maybe very few, but I really don't have any April Fool's jokes today. I do have these true observations, however. It is good finding Easter eggs on Easter. It's bad when you find Easter eggs on Easter and you haven't hidden any yet this year. And did you ever stop to think that why did Jesus leave the stone door of the tomb wide open? Was he born in a barn or something? And finally, a pastor goes to a visitor and says, "You need to join the service of the Lord." The visitor responded, "I'm already in the service of the Lord." The pastor came back, "How come I only see you at Christmas and Easter?" "Pastor," he whispered, "I'm in the secret service." Well, this is unarguably the highest and holiest day of the Christian calendar. As holy days go, it doesn't get any holier than this. But it's also April 1st. So I have to ask, who among us is the April Fool? I think there's a whole slew of... No, you can't point at your spouse. I think there's a whole slew of candidates that come to mind. Is the April Fool Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, who... He was the one who cowered in the face of certain religious potentates who said that failing to deal harshly with the treasonous villain like Jesus would not be viewed favorably by Rome. He's the one who washed his hands of the whole affair. He permitted the execution, and not only permitted it, but allowed it to happen in the name of the emperor. Then suddenly, it's Easter. Jesus has risen. Sorry, Pontius Pilate. April Fools. Perhaps the disciples are the real April Fools. Because let's be clear, there's no doubt that many of the disciples felt foolish during as the crucifixion approached. They had, well, given up their jobs. They had left their homes and their families to follow this man on a journey through Palestine. Yet they had been witnesses to some phenomenal events, stuff that they couldn't then nor now explain. They had pinned their hopes and their futures on one they believed who would liberate them. And now, he's being led away like a lamb to the slaughter. So the disciples went home. They abandoned him. They betrayed him and wanted to forget him. And now suddenly, it's Easter morn. Jesus is risen. April Fools. Perhaps the April Fools are the soldiers guarding the tomb. Just a side note, you got a feel for these guys. They're simply cogs in the Roman industrial military complex. I don't know what they did to get guard duty to guard a cemetery, but they had to have done something to deserve being sent to the tombs to guard dead people. They're good. They're decent folks, ordinary, common, following orders, guarding a dead person. Wow. You know they had to have been teased by that. And surprise, it's Easter morning, and Jesus is risen. April Fools. Maybe the April Fool is Peter, commercial fisherman. Peter started out enthusiastically, no doubt. He defended his rabbi right and left. He was the one who identified Jesus as the Christ. He swore to never abandon his Lord. He even drew a sword out against the cohort of Roman security forces. But then Peter loses faith faster than a rock sinks in water. When Jesus at last is captured and led away, Peter denies he ever knew the man more than once. And the person who said he would never, ever, ever leave Jesus leaves. What a fool. And then suddenly it dawns on Peter, it's Easter morning, and Jesus is risen. April Fools. Well, perhaps Thomas is the April Fool. He usually said the thing that, well, everyone else was thinking but was afraid to ask or say. Thomas said, when Jesus talked about going to prepare a place for them, it was Thomas who asked, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? When his colleagues asserted that Jesus was alive, it was Thomas who demanded to see the evidence. Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hand, put my finger in the mark of the nails, put my hand at his side, I will not believe. Then suddenly, Thomas sees that it's Easter morning and Jesus is risen. April Fools. But in truth, we know they're not the fools. Perhaps the greatest fools are all of us. Certainly, much of the world believes we're crackers, complete fools who need Jesus and religion as some sort of emotional crutch. It's likely that a fair percentage of the population who, although they identify themselves as religious, think that we committed followers of Jesus just take things too seriously. We who love Jesus, who follow his teaching, are regarded by many as the real fools. They'll call us the April Fools. And perhaps there's another reason, another sense in which we're the Easter Fools. We're fools because we claim to believe, but behave as we don't, like we don't. We affirm a belief in new life, new possibility in Jesus. We declare he is risen indeed, but live as though Jesus were still in the tomb, cold and decaying. We affirm our belief with our lips, but we do not confess Jesus with our lives. We are indeed the fools. And now, my friends, it's Easter morning. Jesus is risen. April Fools. But there's an even bigger fool. The biggest fool of April, of Easter, the biggest April Fool is not Pontius Pilate, not the disciples, not Peter, not Thomas. It's not even you or me, or any of us. The greatest April Fool is Jesus himself. He is the fool of Easter. He's the trickster, as it were. He is the one who called the devil's bluff in the greatest jest of all time. Even during his ministry, he acted in foolish ways. According to most contemporary observers, he eschewed a comfortable lifestyle. For friends, he had the tax collectors, the hookers, the lepers, the fishermen, the poor, the needy. Not a CEO amongst his inner circle. He shunted aside angel investors and instead told them, give away your wealth. He knew that there was power in being somebody, but there is truth in being nobody. And he opted for truth because he knew that power emerges from truth. He chose weakness instead of strength, vulnerability instead of aggressiveness, truth instead of practicality, honesty instead of influence. He consistently chose ways of peace, not vengeance, fear, or war. He stuck his fingers in the eyes of the religious authorities so often that they deliberately wanted to kill him and did. But death could not hold him. The grave could not contain him. On Easter Fool's Day, God made foolish the wisdom of the world. Jesus was God's fool, a stumbling block where God reconciled the world. Today, Jesus is alive. For he who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. It was Jesus who emptied himself, became the form of a servant. Being born in human likeness and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Pretty foolish, it would seem. But that's not the end of the story. Therefore, God also highly exalted him, gave him a name above all other names, so that the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, the God of glory. So on this Easter Fool's Sunday, perhaps this is what we have. We have an opportunity to do something. As fools for Christ, as God's fool, we might consider in humble reverence reaffirming our allegiance to the one who pulled off the greatest jest in history. It's quite simple, actually. Many people think it's not the smartest thing to follow Jesus in the world. In fact, they may think I'm crazy, that you yourself are crazy and somewhat of a lunatic. But do we have just enough foolish Easter faith to believe that God pulled it off? That God conquered death, brought life and light to the shadows of our world? Do we have enough foolish Easter faith to know that God brings back to life so many aspects of our existence? I bet there are times in our lives when we have been crushed by the cruelty of this world, entombed by circumstance, experience, and injustice, crucified. But somehow, some way, the earth moved and the light shone in on us. Maybe our resurrection of body, mind, and spirit came when someone said the right word at the right time. Or someone who absolutely had our back. Or didn't give us a trite cliche of an answer, but in silence sat with us and just cried. Maybe it was someone who noticed your pain when you thought no one would. Maybe our resurrection of body, mind, and spirit came when we stopped focusing on ourselves, but had the brains, heart, and courage to reach out and serve others. Maybe our body, mind, and spirit resurrection came when someone was willing to step up and share the weight of our burdens. Maybe the resurrection of our body, mind, and spirit came. You know, I could go all day with that kind of list. Because God provides for resurrection of body, mind, and spirit in so many ways in our lives. So can you and I be Easter fools? Can we be a peace-loving, grace-giving, justice church? In a world trying to silence us and tell us, just don't mention it. Don't mention gun violence, equality for LGBTQ community, immigration. Just don't mention it. Can we live as though God has resurrected us in body, mind, and spirit? Can we step away from what society says and stand for those who cannot stand for themselves? It's going to take an Easter fool to do that. which is precisely what God calls us to be and do, be that company of fools called the church. It's going to take Easter fools to do that. God's resurrection spirit is blowing through this place. So who's with me? Christ is risen. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Thanks be to God.